So we've been talking about thankfulness. Be thankful. Look at somebody and say, be thankful. And we started off, I'm going to do a recap of last Sunday. So some of you were here, you're going to hear this over again. But faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So we need to hear it more than once. So 2 Timothy 3 verse 2 talks about the last days. It talks about in the last days perilous times are going to come. And I believe that we are in the last days. And it says this in 2 Timothy 3:2. And I'm just going to read one scripture out of there. There's a whole list of things that will be happening in the last days. But it says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents. So young people, be obedient to your parents. And all the parents said, amen. And then it says, unthankful, I underline that, and unholy. And that's something that we don't hear a lot in our society today. You don't hear people running around saying, I'm unthankful. But you do hear them saying, I'm entitled or I deserve. That's another word of saying, I'm unthankful. So we have a lot of that going on in our world today. And so when I was teaching this last Sunday, what the Lord impressed upon me was this. Would you like to increase your capacity to receive more from the Lord? I think everybody would say yes to that. We all have the same potential to receive, but our capacity to receive is different from person to person. And I believe that what Scripture teaches is it directly correlates to what degree of thankfulness that you walk in life. Are you a complainer, or you're a person that walks around being thankful? All right, we want to be thankful people. Thank you is two powerful spiritual words that works in the present, not only in the present, but also in the future. And everybody said, amen. So there's these two words, unthankful or thankful, and there's no middle ground. You're either unthankful or you're thankful. And so we talked about last Sunday, and I'm going to go over these again, four truths about the power of thanksgiving. So if you're taking notes, you might want to write these down. And here's the first one. Number one, thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. Thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. Thanksgiving, and basically what this is saying is thanksgiving and victory go hand in hand. If you're a person that's thankful, you're going to be receiving victory from the Lord. If you're a person that's unthankful, you're not going to be receiving victory from the Lord. Everybody got that? All right. Is everybody awake? Everybody? Okay. All right. Everybody's in this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 57 says, but thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks comes first. Thanks and victory go hand in hand. It's like peanut butter and jelly, all right? And then what we learned was, no, that didn't come out right either. Woo! Number two, thanksgiving. This Taya, stop. My daughter is like, there's your preacher blooper for the end of the year 2020. Number two, thanksgiving smells good on you, all right? Thanksgiving smells good on you. Look at somebody and say, you smell good this morning. This is 2 Corinthians 2, verse 14 says, now thanks be to God who always leads us in triumph in Christ and through us diffuses the fragrance of his knowledge in every place. My wife, Jada, has a diffuser in our house. She puts oils in it, and it diffuses it throughout the house and makes our house smell good. How many of y'all have one of those? All right. You're the same way in the Spirit. You're a diffuser. And the Holy Spirit's putting his anointing oil within you, and you can walk into a room and change the atmosphere and make it smell good, make it smell better. We're coming up on Thanksgiving. I love the smell of Thanksgiving. How many of you love the smells of Thanksgiving? Boy, I can smell it already. And here's what I'm wanting to say with this. Thanksgiving smells good on you. You either smell like life and victory, or you smell like death and defeat. And it's all what's coming out of your mouth. You know, if you're thankful, if you're a complainer, then you're going to smell like death and defeat. If you're a person that's very thankful, when people get around you, you can smell that real quick. This is a person I want to be around because they're just a thankful person. They're happy. And I asked Jada if I could share this picture again, and I'm going to. And she gave me the go-ahead, too. This is the picture from our house. And this is when we turned. I had to snap this picture of her. We had just turned the heater on in our house for the first time back when this ice storm happened, and we did not know this, but we had some mice had crawled up in that heater coil and died. And then so when we turned on the heat, it just, our whole house smelled like death. And Jada's sitting there like that, and I took a picture of it. And we had a guy there that was repairing it, and he was outside, and he came in the house, and he goes, oh, my gosh. And he thought it was a dead snake, but we found out it was a dead mouse. And I was prepared during that week, I was preparing this message, and it made me think of this. Some of us need to clean out the whining, the complaining, the bitterness of soul and misery, and everything would smell so much better. And everybody said, amen, because if you're unthankful, it's going to smell like death. We looked at a passage of Scripture in Psalms chapter 78, and this whole chapter talks about the children of Israel and kind of sums up what was going on those 40 years out in the wilderness. And I just picked out a couple of scriptures in there just to show you when you're walking around being unthankful, another thing that goes with unthankful is unbelief. So when you're unthankful, you can't walk in faith when you're unthankful. The unbelief goes hand in hand with it. And so Psalm 78, verse 40 through 41 says, it says, how often, talking about the children of Israel, they provoked him in the wilderness and grieved him, talking about God, in the desert. Yes, again and again, they tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. When you walk around in unthankfulness, you limit God. God is limitless, but you can put limits on God if you walk around unthankful. Look at somebody and say, be thankful. All right, here was the big thing that we learned last Sunday was faith says thank you before, not just after. A lot of times when we say, you know, we teach our kids, and here's something. What I'm trying to do to all of us, and myself included, is cultivate in us a lifestyle of thanksgiving, because we weren't born to be thankful. You think about it with your children. We're already teaching Jarek. What do you say? He can't talk yet, but Dee Dee, you know, that's about the sum of his word, Dee 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 Dee, you know. But we're already saying, say thank you, you know, so that he understands. But it's always after the fact. After something good happens or a blessing or whatever, then we're teaching them, say thank you, say thank you. What God wants us to get in our spirit, cultivating this lifestyle of thanksgiving, is to be able to say thank you before anything ever happens. And that's walking by faith. That's saying thank you by faith. And we talked about that last Sunday. I know I keep talking about last Sunday, because I'm reviewing last Sunday. So faith says thank you before, not just after. In fact, Psalms 100, verse 4, a lot of us know this scripture. If you've been in church any length of time, says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. That's talking about before. As you come into God's presence, be thankful, be thankful. Don't come into his presence complaining with your big old laundry list. Come in and be thankful for all the things that he's already done and the things that he's going to do. John 11, verse 41 said, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. This is Jesus with Lazarus. And this is something I'd never seen before, even though I'd read this several times. In John chapter 11, it says, then they took away the stone from the place where the dead man was lying. Talking about Lazarus, been dead for 4 days. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. He thanked the Father first before that miracle ever happened, before resurrection ever happened. So thank you precedes miracles. Being thankful is going to precede miracles in your life. All of us can do this, but it takes faith. 1 John 5, verses 4 through 5 says, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Look at somebody and say, our faith. That's what you got to have. You got to activate your faith. You get saved, and then you start walking by faith. Amen? Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? And then we talked about this. This was the title of last week's message, was thank you for the biscuit. Look at somebody and say, thank you for the biscuit. And I learned that there's this pastor that grew up but he had like 13 siblings, and he grew up in Georgia in this huge home, you know, a huge family basically, lived in a tiny home. They didn't have a whole lot of money, and his parents worked hard to provide food for the 13 kids, and he was one of the youngest in the family. And he said that my mom would, throughout the week, we ate cornbread or cornmeal. And then on Sundays, we always looked forward to Sunday because we knew that mom was going to make her homemade biscuits for us. And we eat those homemade biscuits. And she said, but we had 13 kids, so we had some boys that could eat a lot of biscuits. And it was protocol in their family. And he said, this taught me a spiritual principle, but it was protocol in their family that when it got down to the last biscuit, whoever said thank you for the biscuit first got the biscuit. And so he goes, you could be sitting on the other side of the table, and you saw that it was down to the last biscuit. And he goes, I could see it on the other side of the table. I'm the littlest brother in the family, and I could say, thank you for the biscuit, and it was mine. And he said, so I would always watch that deal going around. When it got down to the last one, I'd go, I'd say, thank you for the biscuit. And he'd just look at his brothers and just smile because he knew, hey, this is protocol in the family. It's mine. And he took that as a spiritual principle, and he shared this scripture, this pastor did, in Psalms 23, verse 5. He said, God has prepared a table before you in the presence of your enemies. And all you got to do is sit at that table and say, thank you, Lord, for my inheritance. Thank you for my biscuit. You don't have to scream at the devil. You don't have to scream at anybody, any of the demons around the table. That biscuit is yours. That inheritance is yours. And all you got to do is thank the Lord for it. And everybody said, amen. That's some good stuff there. And then the last thing that we learned about was a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. Feeling sorry for yourself and being thankful can't go together, all right? And we talked about Hannah in the Bible because when she was wanting a son, she was wanting to give birth, she'd go to the temple every day and pray and pray and pray and fast and fast and fast and pray and pray and pray. And a lot of her praying was just whining and complaining of something that she didn't have because she couldn't have a child. And one day, Eli came in, who was the priest at that time, in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 17 through 18. It says, then Eli answered and said, go in peace. He told her, man, get out of here. And the God of Israel out of church, and the God of Israel grant you your petition which you have asked of him. And she said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. And what I taught about on that, guys, is the moment that she became thankful, the moment that she changed her countenance and became thankful, that's whenever she was able to receive and give birth. It didn't happen all the time that she was whining and complaining. It was when she went away from there, walking by faith and being thankful, and that's when God opened up her womb. And everybody said, amen. So you can't, a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. Here's the takeaways from that message was thanksgiving empowers us to receive the victory from the Lord. Thanksgiving smells good on you. Faith says thank you before, not just after. And a thankful person never feels sorry for themselves. And so my sermon in a sentence was, be thankful God is helping you much more than you know. God is helping you much more than you know. This goes with this today, and this is why I recapped this. I don't normally do this, but the reason why I recapped this message was because this is the before part, all right? Being thankful before, teaching you being thankful before something ever happens. That's walking by faith. Now I'm going to show you something about after. Thanksgiving is before and after. Being thankful before and after. And so the title of this message this morning is Before and After. And I looked up some doctor terms about thankfulness, and I used to work for Encompass Home Health, and as an area manager, one of the things that I had to do was call on doctors. And so I would go around and visit with doctors. And they knew that I was in the ministry. They knew that I was a pastor. Some of these doctors did. And I was sitting down with one doctor one day, and we were visiting. And he said, Mark, you know, he goes, a lot of my job, he said, is really not prescribing. And he goes, yeah, there's people that come in here that they are sick in their body. But he said, really the root reason why they're sick is because something else is going on. It's really not the physical aspect. Something, he goes, and a lot of my job is just counseling. And we talked about this one time, and he said, I have known the people that are not optimistic and they're pessimistic, they get sick, more sick, easier. And so he was talking about being thankful, and I looked this up and from a doctor's point of view, and this is what it said. It says, thankfulness can have a wide range of psychological and physical benefits. And here's just a few of the things that I found that it can do, being a thankful person. It can increase your personal happiness. It can help you get better sleep. It increases your success at work when you're thankful. Now, you know, stuff at work may not be, the circumstances at work may be horrible, but if you're going in there with a thankful heart, things can change. It increases our success at work. It improves our relationships. I promise you, if you're thankful for your spouse and they know it, it improves your relationship, your marriages. If you're thankful for your employees or your employer, it improves your relationships. It makes you healthier. Thanksgiving, being thankful, makes you healthier. It increases your energy, helps us relax, and helps you live longer. Plus, there's a whole other long list of what thankfulness can do. So thankfulness is a good thing. Amen. And we need to be thankful. And I'm trying to get us all to cult. We're living in a society today in our world right now is very unthankful. All you hear on the news and social media, you hear it everywhere, is just a lot of unthankfulness. And we as Christians got to cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving. And this is in Luke chapter 17. Sorry, I didn't put those up there for you. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19 says this. It says, now it happened, this is where Jesus heals the 10 lepers. It says, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the other 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. This one leper was thankful before and after. I want you to catch that. He was thankful before, and he was also thankful after. I'm going to give you 3 points, all right, for taking notes. You can write these down. Here's number one. Be thankful even if your circumstances are difficult. Be thankful even if your circumstances are difficult. In Jesus' day, we've been able to, you know, cure leprosy, but in his day there was no cure for leprosy. And one of the things in the Old Testament talked about, if you felt like you had been cured of it, you had to go to the priest and go through this long deal of the priest checking you out and making sure you were okay to go back in to society. These people had to be quarantined, all right? But it wasn't just, and that's where we actually got the 6 foot away. That was with leprosy, too, in Bible times. This was a horrible disease. Basically, it was a slow process of basically, and I know this is before we go home and eat lunch today, eat dinner, but it was basically your flesh would rot away. People's their fingers would fall off, their toes would fall off. As it progressed, it was just a horrible disease. So these people were told when they came down with leprosy, they had to be away from their spouse, away from their family. They were even kicked outside of town. They had their own little places where they had to go. It was a horrible thing. And the Bible doesn't ever talk about this too much, I know I'm saying all this before we go home and eat today, but it was so bad that when you got around somebody that had this disease, they stunk like death. They stunk like rotting flesh is what it was. I was reading and I was studying about this week, and I came across a story by Beth Moore. Some of you know her. She's a great Bible teacher, and she'd even talked about, and she was very honest that she had seen Jesus in her study in the Gospels, that Jesus, you know, would minister to the people with lepers, and she was over there where there was some leprosy going on. There's some places that this still goes on because they don't have the medical aid yet, and she wanted to go minister to them, and they were in this little, like their own little city, basically. And she said, I could not even enter the city where they were at because of the smell. It was so bad. She goes, and I felt so guilty. I just could not do it. And she was very honest about it. So I just wanted to let you know what Jesus is dealing with here. And when he sees them, he tells them, he said, in order for this miracle to happen, these men had to start walking in faith before their circumstances had changed one bit. Be thankful even if your circumstances are difficult. When Jesus told them to go show yourselves to the priests, not one thing had happened to them yet. They're still standing there going, I'm not healed. I got a finger missing, Jesus. You know, I've got a toe missing. I'm not healed. But they obeyed what Jesus told them to do, and as they went, they started becoming healed. Can you imagine? They started having digits grow back. Things started happening. Their flesh, that the ashy color of the flesh became like baby skin again. And as this was happening, I guarantee you, there was some loud noise going on and some shouting. And I'm being healed. Look at this. He spoke. He told us what to do, and we're going. And so they went ahead and go to the priests. And then what happens is then they can immediately go back into society, right? So immediately these other nine, once you get in this, what these 10 are experiencing, they're being healed. So all of a sudden they're thinking, oh, I can go see my wife. I can go see my husband. I can go see my kids. I can go back to work. I can do this. I can do that. And that's what nine of them did. But one of them turned back around and went back to Jesus. Is everybody with me? All right. And this is 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. How many of you in here want to know what the will of God is for your life? Give thanks. Look at somebody and say, give thanks. That's the will of God for your life. If you'll start giving thanks to God for everything that's going on in your life, you may not in everything give thanks. You can always find something to be thankful for, even if it's just your salvation. Maybe all hell's breaking loose in your life. Nothing's going right, but you can at least be thankful for your salvation. And that's the greatest thing that we need to be thankful for. I want to share this story with you from a pastor. It says, while on a short-term missions trip in 1996, Pastor Jack Hinton from New Bern, North Carolina, was leading worship at a leper colony on the island of Tobago. There was a time for one more song, so he asked if there was a request. And a woman who had been facing away from the pulpit turned around, and he said this, it was the most hideous face I had ever seen, Hinton said. The woman's nose and ears were entirely gone. The disease had destroyed her lips as well. She lifted a fingerless hand in the air and asked, can we sing Count Your Many Blessings? Overcome with emotion, Hinton left the service. He was followed by a team member who said, Jack, I guess you'll never be able to sing that song again. And Jack said, yes, I will, but I'll never sing it the same way. I thought that was so powerful. All right, so number one is to be thankful even if your circumstances are difficult. Here's number two. Make sure your thankfulness leads to action. Everybody said? All right. How many of you did what Pastor Mark told you to do last Sunday and go and told somebody thank you? I see a few hands. Some of you are like, oh, crud, I forgot about that. That was one of the things I said last week was we're going to put corresponding action to what we're learning about being thankful and go. I told you to send a card, text, phone call, whatever you felt the Lord. Maybe it was to go in person to go tell somebody thank you. Something, and I told you to pray about it and really think about somebody in your life that had really meant a lot to you or had helped you in your spiritual journey. In your journey with the Lord, and make sure your thankfulness leads to action. And this is in everything in life, guys. James 2:26, for as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. One time back in between 94 and 2004, I did real estate appraisals, and there was a mortgage company that opened up in Weatherford. And I later found out that he goes to Pine Acres Church. I think it's the name of the church there. He's a worship leader there. And I was doing real estate appraisals around here in Western Oklahoma. And so he had called me just out of the blue one day. He had heard about me and he said, oh, I need you to do an appraisal over in Weatherford. You come to Weatherford? I'll come to Weatherford to do an appraisal because I'd wanted to start doing appraisals in Weatherford. And so I went over there, did an appraisal for him. I took it, hand-delivered it to him, and then I sent a thank you note in the mail to him. And he called me, and he said, hey, Mark, are you going to be in Weatherford anytime soon? I said, yeah, I'll be over there next week. He said, I want you to stop by the office. I need to visit with you. And so I came by the office, and he had that thank you card laying on his desk. And he said, I just want you to know something, because I've been in business my whole life, and I can count on one hand how many people have sent me thank you cards. And he said, because you sent me this thank you card, you're going to get all of my business. One little simple thank you card got his business. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. Saying thank you is a dying thing. Really is, saying thank you. This morning I come to church and Bobby came up to me. Bobby, I'm going to use you in my message today. And he gave me a card. It says Mark on it, right? And so I came up front here, and I was like, well, and this is what was going through my mind, Bobby. I was like, I'm gonna open that after church today. And I just felt the Spirit of the Lord say, no, you need to open that right now. So I opened it up, and it's a thank you note from Bobby. And on the inside, it just says thank you. And I got teary-eyed up here, and then Bobby was sitting out here. He got here early today. I don't think Bobby slept last night, by the way. And Bobby came up here, and he was standing right here in front of the pulpit, and he said, Mark, you remember last Sunday when you told us to send out a thank you note? I said, yeah, I do. He said, I wanted you to get one too. Woo! And I'm going to tell you something, Bobby. I've baptized over 100 people, I think, over the last 20 years. We've kind of tied the numbers. We've had over 100 baptisms here in Leedy since we've been a church. And I'm not saying, and some of you in here I've baptized, so this is not to make you feel guilty, but this is the first thank you I have ever received. And it's a thank you before the baptism. Amen. Love you, Bobby. I'm going to say something else about Bobby this morning. I got up this morning, and I haven't had this happen, but I've had like the whole town of Leedy texting me, when you baptizing Bobby? I had a call coming in, when you baptizing Bobby? What time in the service? And I've got to go 15 more minutes so they'll get here, Bobby. Because I told them, I said, probably around 11:45 because they go to church somewhere else and they're trying to get here for Bobby's baptism. I looked over at Jade, I was like, my gosh, I feel like I'm baptizing the Pope or the Apostle Paul or somebody today. You know, I'm getting all these phone calls and texts, and so I was thinking about all that this morning, and Bobby, I just want you to know this, that God brought you to Leedy, and there's been a lot of, I know I get to dunk you today, I'm not going to let Clark do it, I'm going to do it, but I get the honor of dunk you, but there's been a whole lot of people in this community that's touched your life, I know that, on your journey with the Lord. And I was thinking about this morning, I was just thinking, God, man, that is so awesome how you've brought Bobby into the kingdom and all this. And I didn't hear this audibly, it just on the inside of me, I heard the Holy Spirit say, Mark, I love Bobby. So, Bobby, God loves you a bunch, buddy. And there's a lot of people around here that loves you. And God is so good. And here's the deal. We were talking, I had a pastor's meeting this week, and one of our pastors that leads our study, our time together, he said, he goes, I want to challenge you with something. How many people are you going to reach in 2021 for the Lord? How many people are going to get saved, you know, in your ministry, in your church? And so I text that out to some of our people, of our leaders in our church, and I love the response, and I can't remember who texted back and said, you know what, if it's just one, it's worth it. And amen. God is good. I could stop right there and go baptize Bobby, but I got 15 more minutes to go so somebody else can get here to watch Bobby get baptized. All right. Well, I was studying, and I've been thinking about this COVID stuff that's going on and talking about faith with corresponding actions. And I believe that Jesus still heals today. Amen. And make sure that your thankfulness leads to action. But also know, as I was studying this, I was thinking, okay, these people had leprosy. Jesus told them, go see the priest. And because, I mean, he didn't go touch them because they had leprosy. You know, and here's the deal, guys. Not unless the Lord tells you to. We've got to use wisdom. That's why there's been times, wear your mask when you need to, when you're supposed to and all that. You know, we may have to, I hope not, but we may have to shut down church again. I hope we don't have to, but we're gonna do all the things that we need to do to keep people safe and healthy. We're going to use wisdom. We're not, bless God, I'm having church, everybody come here, you know, and everybody gets COVID. You know, we're not doing that, all right? That's not faith. That's stupid, all right? That's being stupid. But there's a difference. And if God tells you to go lay hands on someone, by all means, do it, all right? Because God's with you and God's going to protect you. But I got to thinking, Lord, we're living in unusual times right now because of all this COVID that's going on, and what do we need to do? And I'm going to throw this out there, the reason why I'm going to share this scripture with you is for us to, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Nothing catches God off guard, amen? God's in control. And there's a passage of Scripture in Acts chapter 19, verses 11 through 12, and it talks about miracles glorify Christ, just like we're reading today about a miracle that glorified the Lord. But it says this, and this is talking about the Apostle Paul, and it says, now God worked unusual miracles. Everybody say unusual miracles. And we're living in unusual times right now, and we need some unusual miracles going on. By the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Now, that's in the Scripture. Here, I got a hanky. Okay, you know. And I know that sounds, you read that, it's like, that is nuts. That is crazy. Well, that may be the only way we can get healing to people. Amen? We need to be open to God, open to what unusual miracles he tells us to do. But we also need to use our brains and have wisdom as well. Everybody understand that? Say all that right? Okay. Number three, true thanksgiving is before and after. And that's my sermon in a sentence. Look at somebody say, true thanksgiving is before and after. It's before and after. We're celebrating Thanksgiving this week. And I love it that our nation sets aside that day to give thanks to God for all that he has done and all that he's going to do. But here's the deal, is don't just do it that one day. Do it every day. Create a lifestyle, cultivate a lifestyle of thanksgiving in your life. I love this in Luke chapter 17, verses 15 through 19. It says, one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Then this, were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. One translation says that your faith has made you whole. The Greek word for that well and whole is sozo. And that means that this man received something more than the other 9 did. They received their physical healing. This man received spiritual healing. He received salvation. The word sozo means saved. Jesus said, were there not 9? Where are the other 9? Jesus asked. And he's like, I don't know. They must have went home or whatever. But that guy came back. And because he came back, not only before was he thankful, but after was he thankful, he received total salvation. There's power when you're thankful before and after. Before and after. Now, as your pastor today, I'm going to kind of get on to all of us, all right, a little bit. All right, can you all handle this for just a second? I'm going to get on to all of us. Being thankful before and after. Being thankful before and after. We do something here at our church, and we have communion every Sunday. We have it up here at the front. Up here, we serve it up here, and we serve it there in the back as well. What Pastor Mark wants to see is I want us to see spending more on budget on communion cups than we do on animal crackers. Amen? Okay. We make that available, so we don't, you know, I don't get up here and we don't do it as a whole church every Sunday, but we make it available for you to do that as a family during worship and to do it every Sunday. And we don't want it to be, you know, I've been in the churches where it seems like it's just a, you know, ritual. It's not a ritual, guy. It's you saying thank you for my salvation. Thank you that my whole household is saved. Jade and I, we do it every Sunday, and we come up here and we partake of those emblems that represent Jesus and what he did at the cross for us, the bread, his broken body, healing for us, the grape juice represents his blood for the remission of our sins. We do that, and then we always say, thank you, Father, for our salvation. Thank you that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you that my whole household is saved. And I also thank God for that our whole church family is saved. That anybody that comes in contact with us is going to get saved because they're going to hear about Jesus. Amen? And so I want to be spending more on communion cups around here. And everybody said? Amen. I want to find them everywhere. And I used to find them out on the playground, you know, because our little kids would come in here and get them. And I'll never forget the first time here's pastor confession. The first time I found one out on the playground and it was sitting there, I got mad. I was like, good grief, somebody's letting their kids in the church and getting communion, and they're coming out here and they're eating the bread and drinking the juice. And the Holy Spirit got onto me and said, let the little children come unto me. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, Lord. It's like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, yeah. You know how he can tell you something really quick and you're like, oh, okay, I'm sorry. That was one of those. But I'm serious, guys. I want us, that's being thankful when you come to the, because it says, do this in remembrance of me. You're thanking the Lord for what he has done for you and what he's going to do. And that goes into Romans 10, verses 9 through 10. This happened last Sunday with Bobby, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And Bobby's already done that, and he's going to follow the Lord in water baptism. And this is how we're going to end the service today. So, Bobby, are you ready? Yeah, he's ready. He's been up all night waiting for this. So I want Bobby to come up here, and Clark's going to come up here with me. And Clark's going to help him back here when we get down in the baptistry. Are you texting Stetson? Is he on his way? Okay. Well, I've got some more. I can keep talking. During our baptisms, what we do is I always try to talk about what baptism represents. And then there's two, what I just talked about, communion. These are the two covenants that we're supposed to do in church, is communion and water baptism. And there he is. Stetson, just in time, brother. But the covenant sign that you're in covenant with God, the covenant sign is communion. When you come up here, that's a sign. When you receive your communion, when you do that, that's a covenant sign that you're in covenant with God, all right, that you're in a relationship with him. The covenant seal is baptism, all right? And so that's what we're going to witness here today. Bobby's already received the Lord as his Savior and Lord, and then this is the covenant seal is baptism, that fall in the Lord in water baptism. And so are you coming up here to take pictures? Okay, good, thank you. We need all the pictures we can get and videos. And we've baptized maybe, I think, you know, last time we figured it was, we've started keeping better records, and the reason why is because we've had people that have passed away that have called me and said, hey, do you remember when you baptized, you know, my son, my daughter, you know, my whoever it was? And so we've started realizing, you know, I used to just write them in my Bible, but now we've got a system where we keep track of that. So Patricia was texting me the other day, how do you spell Bobby's name? Bobby Winchester. Because we gave him a little baptism certificate. And baptism is a very important thing. It's not just about getting wet. It's about that public confession of your faith. There's something very spiritual that happens in these waters. Even though it's, you know, it's an outward sign of what's already happened on the inside. I love what Romans 6, verses 3 through 5 says, baptism is sometimes called the watery grave. There's a death of the old man and a resurrection of the new man. So you're going to see a new man come out of Bobby today. Amen. He's going to be a new man. And we all are here to witness this and to remind him that he's a new man. So before I get up there, Bobby, you about ready? Okay. All right, I want to pray over Bobby. Can we do that while he's getting ready? What? Well, let's pray for Bobby, then I'm going to get up there and behind him. I don't get in the water with him, but we're going to pray. All right. Father, we come to you in Jesus' name, and I just thank you so much for this time to pray for Bobby and to baptize him today. God, of the inner work that you've already done within his life. And I thank you for all the people that are here today to witness this, the people that have actually witnessed to Bobby and had a part in his journey with you and coming to know you. And so, Lord, I just thank you for this community. And we're witnessing just a miracle today in what you've done in Bobby's life, how you've led him here to Leedy, Oklahoma. And we just pray your blessings over him today and over his family. And God, we just thank you for what we're all going to witness here today, this miracle of Bobby joining you, following you in water baptism, God. And we just bless Bobby in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, I'm going to get up here and get ready to baptize Mr. Bobby, and then we're going to go out with a shout, okay? Yeah, angels are already rejoicing right now. All right, Bobby, come on up here and we'll get in this warm, the holy hot tub is what we call this. That's okay. I'll hold your hand when you come down these other ones. Got it? Yep.
Do I need to take my glasses off?
Yeah, you'll take them off when you get, you can give them to Clark. Yeah, he's getting baptized in Camargo backhoe service t-shirt today, and then the church gave him a t-shirt as well. All right, turn around and sit down right there. Okay. Scoot up as far as you can on that little seat there. Yeah, there you go. Then I want you to take one hand and hold your nose. Yeah, then that one, grab a hold of your wrist. That way it gives me something to hang on to. All right, is everybody ready for this? All right.
So you're the one that's going to drown me.
Yeah, I'm the one that's going to tip you back, and I'll bring you right.
Baptism and a funeral all in the same session.
No, it's not going to be a baptism and a funeral. It's going to be a baptism and a resurrection all at the same time. All right. Okay. Then I'm going to tilt you back real quick and dunk you. All right, Bobby. Upon your confession of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen, brother. Amen. Amen, brother. Yeah, there's some angels celebrating in heaven right now, brother. Amen. Okay, you go get dried off because I know there's going to be some people wanting to see you after this and hug your neck. Okay. Yeah, there's towels on those shelves, Clark. Okay. Oh. God is good and all the time. Let's give the Lord another hand clap this morning. That's awesome. That's what church is all about right there. All right, I want everybody to stand up, and I'm going to speak a blessing over us. This morning, Jada, will you come up here with me? And then y'all stick around and be sure and greet Bobby. He's getting up dried off up there. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Look at somebody and say, be thankful. Y'all have a happy Thanksgiving.